And I tell Sherry on the way here this morning, I hope I don't lose anyone. Sometimes I regret I shouldn't even be trying to do this. Because it gets pretty deep, and I don't know, give it a shot. But I want to glorify the Lord and His Word. So let me get rid of this cable. Oh, she is? Gosh darn it. Yeah, let me fix this.
I think Rosie did her last email to you.
Hold that. I got this recorder.
She said she wants us all there when she rings the bell.
I think she already did it.
No, she didn't ring the bell yet.
Oh, she hasn't?
No, she has.
She hadn't as of Friday.
All right.
I know she was supposed to.
I'm going to erase this.
I know she's got a car now, so.
Did you decorate?
Yeah. Yeah, fun. All righty, so. What kind of started my topic today? I'm going to stand out here. I feel like I'm too far away. Did you guys watch the debates?
A little bit. Are you kidding?
I watched part of it.
It was tough. The Trump Biden debate.
A lot of it didn't make no sense to me.
Well, yeah, that's the problem.
Biden was trying to use the teleprompter the whole time, and he was getting mad because Trump wasn't on the same page. He was coming up with his own stuff.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it wasn't scripted. So, I was watching the debate, and it's sad, because these guys are running for president.
Right.
Arguably, probably the most powerful position in the world. And you got these two old guys that we don't know how sane they even are.
Right.
So we got that. So I was kind of thinking about that when I was putting this together. And this, the whole uncertainty of the world right now, things are a mess. I think we'd all agree with that. Yeah, come on in, guys.
I hope Trump gets back in office because I'm waiting ready for the last Trump.
The last Trump, yes, it could be.
It could be any day.
So what it got me thinking about is the millennium. There is a time coming when all this is going to be made right. I got to think about Trump and Biden. So I got to think about the millennium. So I thought, I'm just going to talk about the millennium. And I think those that have been through D2, like Pam, you could probably teach this because you've been through it. But we don't hear a lot about the millennium. We hear the word, Brian will mention the millennium. But, yeah. I forgot to move it. Man, I'm glad you said that. We were... wow, that's funny.
How much coffee?
Well... Yeah, that's really funny because, we get here early and, I've had a mess. We were busy yesterday decorating. My staplers ran out at home, so I had to run over to the church this morning and staple all these handouts.
You might just be a redneck if you start the Sunday school class and you leave
your car running. Yeah, that's right. Biggest day right in front of the door out there because I was going to move it and then come back in here. There's too much going on. So, too much going on.
That sounds like something you do.
Oh, yeah, it's fun.
I didn't know if it was running because we brought my mother there.
Oh, yeah, okay. It's probably in the way.
I didn't realize it was hard.
Yeah, it was mine. Man, that's like an hour ago. So it's been out there. Yeah. All right, so today...
Don't let it run too long.
I'd like to see that happen to somebody else.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to... All right. We're going to talk about the millennium. Millennium. The word is not in the Bible, like rapture. There's a lot of words that aren't in our Bible, but the millennium is very much in our Bible. We're going to diagnose some of that today. On your handout, what is the millennium? It's the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth. There's coming a day, probably not too far from now, hopefully within the next 10 years or so, when Jesus will return to the earth and set up a kingdom. He'll rule from Jerusalem. And we'll get into all the details of what's going to happen. So then my little tagline there, he's going to rule for 1,000 years. My little tagline is, will you be there? And if so, what will you be doing? Because that's where a lot of Christians fall off the boat. We know of the millennium. We think we'll be in the millennium. If we are, we don't know what we're going to do in the millennium. So we're going to talk about that today. All right, so first, point one, the millennium, it's from the Latin, milli, annum. That's where the word comes from. It's 1,000 years. Point number two, it's a future event when the Lord will reign over the earth on a throne in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. During the millennium, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are both active on the earth. Okay, this is where we're going to start kind of going deeper. Our Bible, and I think a lot of you may know this, our Bible here, at a high level, is about two kingdoms, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Big difference in the two kingdoms. We are in the kingdom of God at this point. The kingdom of heaven, I'm not going to say that. Sorry. On the back of your handout, I've got this drawing, and this is a drawing. I just pulled it out of my book that I put together, but this kind of shows the two kingdoms. And for right now, I just want to talk about the high level. And I'm just going to kind of draw what's on the handout. This is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God spans the universe. It's all things under His control. It's the angels. It's the cosmos. It's the earth. It's people. Everything. Kingdom of God. It's a huge spiritual kingdom. It's been going on forever. The kingdom of heaven is an earthly kingdom. It's on earth. It's basically God's influence of a kingdom on earth. So the words are a little confusing. There is when God created Adam and Eve, and they're on the earth, both kingdoms existed in the Garden of Eden. Well, when Adam sinned, the kingdom of God went out, and heaven stayed for a while. And so, all through the Old Testament, the kingdom of heaven was in effect because the kingdom was ruled by a man of God's choosing, whether it be a judge or a king, King David. The nation of Israel is pretty much like the kingdom of heaven. That'd be an easy way to think of it. The Old Testament, nation of Israel, comprises the kingdom of heaven. Whereas we are in the kingdom of God, that's the spiritual side of the kingdom. New Testament, it's kingdom of God. So those are kind of the two kingdoms at a super high level. In the millennium, and right now, the kingdom of heaven went out when Babylon took Israel, but I'm not going to get into all that. But so right now, it's the kingdom of God is active on the earth. The kingdom of heaven is not. At the millennium, they both come back down. And that little chart that I gave you, this is the kind of stuff you can just study on your own. You can always ask me questions. But I show how the two kingdoms interacted through history. Sometimes they were both here. Sometimes one was here. When Jesus was here, he said the kingdoms, plural, are at hand. They could have gotten both of these kingdoms if they would have accepted Christ, but the Jews didn't. So heaven went away again and the kingdom of God remained. So that's what this handout is on the back. I'm not going to go through it in any more detail because I don't want to lose everybody. So the two kingdoms. So our Bible is about two kingdoms. Those two kingdoms are both active in the millennium. That's just kind of the point I was wanting to make there. All right, number three. Revelation chapter 20 gives us a high-level view of the timing and the description of the thousand-year reign of Christ. However, there are many, 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 many chapters in the Old Testament, specifically, that describe the millennium. Okay, you know I am going to do this. I'm just going to take a second. Yeah, I'm just going to erase it. I'm going to draw just a quick end times timeline, high level. So we are here in 2024. We're here in 2024. What's the next thing prophetically we're waiting on? We are waiting on the rapture. So when you're looking at, let's say, the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is in order, if you know how to bust it out. So right now we're living Revelation chapters 1, 2, and 3. Revelation chapter 4 is the rapture. That's when we go out. Chapter 4. And when we go out, we immediately kind of go into the judgment seat of Christ. That's what we go through. The JSOC, we go through the judgment seat of Christ. And then we go through the marriage. The marriage supper where Christ marries the church. And after that, we come back down. The book of Obadiah details this in the Old Testament. How we mount up on our white horses and we actually come back with Christ to fight the battle of Armageddon. Alright, so that's I'm going to do Armageddon. Alright, so this period here,
7 years.
This 7 year period roughly, it could be more, but we think it's at least seven. While we're up here partying, well, first we get our clock cleaned, where we give an account of what we did with what we had. But we're having a good time with the Lord up in heaven. The earth is not having a good time. That's the tribulation period that's coming. You know, all that Left Behind series, the movies and all that scary stuff. This is a 7 year tribulation. And it's primarily for the Jews. This is to punish the Jews for rejecting him, and that's a whole other thing. So this is our timeline. This is what's getting ready to happen. That's why I said earlier, we're probably, hopefully, just no more than 10 years from this point. You know, if he comes back for us in the next few, 7 years on the earth, we come down with him, book of Obadiah. When he comes back, you know the color. When he comes back with us, that's when he sets up his millennial kingdom. You know, do a little crown here. This is going to go on for 1,000 years. That's the millennium. That's what we're talking about. So the first question was, will you be there? If you trusted Christ, and Christ is living in your heart, and you've asked him as your Savior, and you're a believer, you're going to get raptured out, go through this with us, and you will be in the millennium. You're going to come back in a spiritual body and go into the millennium. So that answers that question. You will be there.
When does Satan get loosed?
At the end of that. So let's continue on. I don't want to get too far off my hand out here. So that's point three. That's Revelation 20 is this. I was going to read a bunch of this, but we're running out of time, so I'm just going to skate through. You guys can read it on your own. Now, when you study out the life of the people living in this time period, the millennium, and this is where it gets really fun. I'm going to put arm here. Big battle. Antichrist is destroyed. Big battle. When you study out what's going on during this time period, you find that there's different people groups around. There's different ways that they got in. It's all very interesting. So I'm going to kind of table that, some of that for now. But you get a good kind of highlight of that. So All right, point number six. This is where it starts getting fun. This is like good basic Bible study. You can apply this to a lot of things. There are many keywords and phrases in our Bible that let us know that God is talking about the kingdom of heaven, the millennium. And you could say that phrase, you can say that about a lot of things in our Bible, like the rapture is called many different things in our Bible, you know, the day of Christ, the day of redemption, the blessed hope. There's a lot of phrases that God uses in our Bible to describe different events here. And once you learn those phrases, when you're reading your Bible, especially in the Old Testament, when you're reading the Psalms, when you're reading Amos, when you're reading Joel, and these guys start using these key words, flags and bells can go off and you know, oh, you know, Zechariah is talking about this, or Amos is talking about that, because of the key words he's using. So it's really important to learn those key words. When I was a new Christian, you know, I started making lists of these words in the back of my Bible for all the different things I wanted to be aware of as I encountered them. So this list here on the first page would apply to the millennium. These are key words and phrases God uses to describe this time period. And you'll notice a lot of these are in the Psalms, because the Psalms, with David, Kingdom of Heaven guy, are very heavy in the description of what's going to happen to Israel. So the first one, Selah.
Peace.
Yeah, peace, rest. It's a kind of a musical connotation. If you play an instrument, you know that there's a rest symbol. Kind of looks like a hat. The word Selah, if you see the word Selah and you're reading a passage in your Bible, huge red flag. They are talking about the millennium. So it'll kind of clue you into, well, okay, whatever they're talking about is going to happen here. So, there's that one. What time is it? I'd like to read at least some of these. Let's go to Psalm 87:3. I'll show you kind of what we're talking about. Psalm 87:3. And remember, David wrote most of these. Isn't it, you know, Israelite, Jew, Kingdom of Heaven guy. All right, so let's read Psalm 87. I'm going to start at verse 1. Okay, let's just say you're at home and you're reading this and you don't know anything like what I've just said. All right, let's just read it. His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, Selah. So right there, like, ding, 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 ding. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia, Tyre with Ethiopia, this man was born there. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that his man was born there. Selah. As well as the singers, as the players on the instruments shall be there. All my springs are in thee. So he's talking about this future state, this kingdom. He's going to be telling people, this is where Jesus was born. This is what happened. It's kind of a historical thing. This one isn't the actual one I was thinking. So let's go to Psalms 46. This might be the one I was... Yeah, okay, yeah, let's do 46. Psalms 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Now, we hear that all the time. But when you look at it in context, this is a Jew praying out to God for help that's getting ready to come. So it's kind of an Armageddon end times thing, because he's going to be throwing out Selahs here in a second. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Just pause. When we come back with Jesus, some of the key words for the second coming are earthquakes, mountain splitting, tornadoes, storms, lightnings, thunderings. Those are some of the key words for the second coming. So he's kind of mixing in second coming phrasing in verse 2. Mountains being carried away in the midst of the sea. Verse 3, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled. More key words for the second coming. Though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. So Jesus has just come back, according to this little passage. The mountains, earthquakes, all that stuff. Verse 4, there is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, past tense. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. That's an Armageddon type, Battle of Armageddon type verse. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. So that little passage just described this end time event where Jesus comes back, earth quivers and shakes, mountains split, Gentile nations are overthrown. Jesus is sitting back on the throne with a couple of Selahs thrown in. Verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. It's a scorched earth thing here when he comes back. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, cutteth the spear asunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Yeah, he's taken over. He is sitting on the throne now. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. That's how you interpret these Psalms when you're reading with these key phrases. He's talking about that. So that's Selah. Any questions? Is this making sense? All right, so next, rest. Rest is another one. You know, God made the earth in 6 days. Seventh day he rested. There's a general feeling that there's 6,000 years of man, and then the 7,000 years is a time of rest. Solomon's kingdom was a type of the millennium. You know, remember, David was all fighting all the time. That's why God said, you're not building my temple, you're a man of war. But Solomon was a man of peace. You know, like Kevin said, this is a peaceful time. It's a restful time. When you see the word rest, talking about God as our rest, he's talking about this again, millennium. And next is singing a new song. The Jews are going to get a new song. I'm not going to go through those. The day of the Lord is another phrase. When you see day of the Lord, that is always this time period, him coming back and setting up a throne. And what's really fun to do, this is how I got this, is now that we have our Bible on our computer, it's very easy to do word searches and phrase searches. So if you did a, like, new song, if you did a search for new song in your Bible, you'd see all the places where that is used, and there'll probably be dozens of them, like Moses singing a new song, and he's singing about the millennium, and new songs in Revelation several times. Well, they're given a new song, but Day of the Lord is another good one to search for. Rod of iron, because he's going to rule with a rod of iron when he sets up his kingdom here. There'll be no monkey business going on with the people like there is now. Arise and wake up, another key phrase. Gather you out, bring you out. He's dealing with Israel. He's going to bring Israel out of all these nations. Antichrist is going to have them cornered. It's just like a Western. And, you know, they're going to, the Jews will be circling the wagons to keep the Antichrist from destroying them. And at the last minute, you know, the cavalry comes in with us on the white horses, stomps them out. So, rise, wake up, gather you out. Inheritance. We all will get our inheritance during the millennium. Turning the captivity, the latter rain, these are all really cool things to study out, each one on their own. So those are the key words for the millennium. I got to cook, man. I'm about out of time. All right, so on the next page. The millennial reign of Christ is when God fulfills all the promises that he has made in his word over the years. promises about Jesus. I mean, there's a lot of things that are not fulfilled. Like, we just read a couple passages in Psalms that have not been fulfilled. I mean, Jesus hasn't sat on a throne or ruled the earth. So those are the kinds of things that will be fulfilled. So lots of things are going to come true during the millennium. That's God's time to wrap it up and put a bow on it and fulfill everything He's promised. So, let me think here. If I want to go to Zechariah. In our Old Testament, those prophets, you know, Amos, Joel, Zechariah, Zephaniah, all those guys described this. You know, there's an old adage. Have you ever heard that if you had like 10 blind men and they're feeling an elephant and they're going to describe what they feel, and they're all blindfolded. You know, you're going to get a blind guy on the tusk and the nose. I mean, you're going to get a lot of different descriptions of the same thing. That's what happens in our Old Testament. All these Old Testament guys saw this time period. They describe it differently, and they describe it different parts of it, but they all use the same key phrases. And that's what helps, that's what God has given us to link this stuff together. You know, when Joel is talking about one aspect of it, and then, you know, Zephaniah is talking about another aspect, but they're using some of the same words. I think, okay, this is the same thing. So now you're starting to put your elephant together. You see what it's going to look like. So when you do that, when you put your elephant together, you end up with a description of different people groups that are in the millennium, different things that's going to happen. And that's what we're going to go through now on our handout. So the first little block here, we're going to talk about King Jesus. That's your blank on your handout. This little section here is about what the Lord, King Jesus, will be doing during the millennium. So that's page 2 of the handout. King Jesus. So the Lord comes back at the end of the tribulation period. Just like I said, along with us. There's that Obadiah reference again. The whole book's kind of about this. He gathers all the nations. He does the sheep and goat judgment that talks about in the Old Testament, or the New Testament, in Matthew. I'm not going to go there. He sits on a throne for 1,000 years in Jerusalem, rules the earth. Isaiah 4. I try to put all the verses I can because I know we don't have time to go through them all, and this can just be a reference for you later. Rivers of living waters will flow from his throne. This is mentioned quite a few times. So Jesus' throne is going to be the source of a spring of living water during the millennium. Lots of trees are going to grow along the banks. The fruit that they bear will be healing for anyone that eats it. It's kind of like the tree of in the garden. And we're actually coming full circle, but that's another thing. So a stream coming out of his throne for the healing of people.
That's literal, huh?
It's a literal. It will actually happen. And it's described quite a bit. Zechariah 14 is probably one of the best chapters that talk about what's going to go down during the millennium. And it talks about this. All right. It's kind of a cool, interesting thing. Faith ain't necessary. You know, right now we place our faith in Jesus. But when he's sitting on the throne, there's no faith involved. You can turn on CNN and see him sitting there. So faith isn't needed, and it's actually not wanted. There's no more tongues, no more prophecies. He's a military dictatorship, mentioned several times. He's going to force everyone to bow the knee, worship. Nations of people of earth. This is kind of interesting. All the people that are on the earth will have to make a yearly trek to Jerusalem during the Feast of Tabernacles, which is in September, to worship. That's mentioned quite often, too, in the Old Testament. You know, Matthew 5 through 7 in the New Testament, the book of Matthew is to the Jews. We've probably heard that. The book of Matthew has lots of parables. They're all kingdom of heaven is this. The kingdom of heaven is that. They're kingdom of heaven parables. Kingdom of heaven is that earthly Jewish perspective or kingdom. We call it the Beatitudes, but when you read the words and hear what Jesus is saying, he's talking about kind of like the constitution, like the laws, you know, what's going to happen during this millennial period. So chapters 5 through 7 is kind of like how he's going to rule, his constitution. That's kind of neat. All right, that's Jesus. That's what he's going to be doing. He's going to be in Jerusalem over everything. And we'll get to us in a second. The next little section here, the blank, the wicked. So let's talk about what happens to the wicked. Because if you think about, if you really kind of stop and think about the end times, the tribulation period, all the bad stuff that's going to be going on in Israel, you know, the U.S., Russia, China, we're all going to be nuking each other, probably, if we're even around as a nation by then, who knows. But there will be, like, Canadians, New Zealands. I mean, these guys aren't part of this. They're just going to kind of end up in the millennium. There will be a lot of people that just end up over here, which we'll get to some of that in a second. So now we're going to talk about the wicked. When we get into here, one of the first things Jesus does is he binds Satan. He throws Satan in the big ditch, binds him. Oh, hey, draw Satan. Little horns here.
That's a Sharpie.
No, it's dry erase. Right. He's got his little pitchfork. All right. There's Satan. So he gets bound for 1,000 years, gets chains around him, this and that. So he's out of the way. Well, even with Satan out of the way, we all know human nature, and there's going to be people here that don't take kindly to Jesus ruling things the way he does, just like today. No, people don't like authority. So there'll be a lot of people here that don't like authority. They'll be doing wicked things, the dirty deeds, even though Satan's not here. So the wicked, okay, let me say this. People will die and be born during the millennium. So I'll just throw that out. So there will be a physical hell on earth. And this is an interesting study. There will be a hell on earth down here by the Dead Sea. It's called Idumea, where God's going to open up the earth. It's described in a lot of detail in several, multiple chapters in Isaiah.
The hell's cave place?
Well, it's all the Bible says is Idumea. It's down here. It's right south of Dead Sea. It just says Idumea. And people speculate exactly where it is, but it's down here. And what God tells us is that's where the wicked will be thrown when they don't want to play by the rules or whatever. For all the earth to see, I know all the princes, all the people that were defeated at Armageddon will be tossed in there. And the Bible says in Isaiah, those passages I just gave you, how we can walk by and see them in there, like in a worm-like state, suffering for the choices they've made, specifically against Israel. So that's kind of interesting. Hell on earth is a real thing that will happen. So, like I said, humans, probably the sinners, will die during the millennium. No need for prophets. Humans who do try to prophesy will be killed. So they'll end up in that hell on earth. That's in Jeremiah.
So would that just be like a false, somebody just do a false prophecy, right? Because there's no reason to do it.
There's no reason. He's right here. I mean, yeah, if you get some guy like, you know, like a Joel Osteen or whatever.
Taken away from him.
Exactly. They don't like the way things are run.
Okay.
It's human nature. Even, you're right, Blint. Even though the devil's bound, human nature is still here. This isn't a perfect place like heaven, I guess. Anyway, you're right. It's a really interesting study in this, though.
Those are people that weren't saved when
right.
The rapture happened.
They just ended up over here because maybe they lived in Panama or whatever. They weren't part of this. Or maybe they lived in the U.S. and they got out. They went to Canada and now they're in the millennium. So it's kind of neat to think about. Alright, so at the end of that 1,000 years, God will loose the devil for a time period to kind of the last hurrah, and I'm sure he'll gather up some people that don't like Jesus on the throne. Hard to imagine, but I'm sure they're there.
Does that include the fallen angels?
Yeah, that's after that, when the Great White Throne comes up. After this is the Great White Throne, but there'll be one more. I don't want to get off anymore. I got to cook. All right, so next. This is a big subject. I mean, this could be studied out in like a month's time. I wish we had that kind of time. We just don't. All right, so the next little block we'll talk about the people group will be Israel. That's on your handout. That's the blank is Israel. So we're going to talk about Israel for a second. Israel sins as a nation. That's the purpose of the tribulation, is to kind of spank these guys for their, you know, hundreds of thousands of years of disobedience. So Israel, that's why the Old Testament saints talked about this time so much. I think every one of them talked about this time, because this is a glorious time for Israel when they will be cleansed, their idolatry is done, they are serving Jesus as they should, the King, and all is well with the nation of Israel. People, these are actually human people we're talking about, that make it through. There will be a remnant. God always has his remnant. You know, when they circle the wagons here, when the Antichrist is getting ready to wipe them out, God saves them. They get ushered into the millennium as human people, and they'll be having babies. You know, they'll be multiplying. They'll be doing all the things that they were supposed to be doing. So that's Israel. So he makes a new covenant with them, described in Jeremiah, Hebrews. Writes his laws on their hearts. He kind of saves them as a nation. Fulfills all the promises he's made. Restores all the tribes. Israel is going to rule the world. So it's really neat to see Jesus' administration. It's just like the way we do. Jesus is at the top. Right below Jesus will be the 12 disciples. That's talked about in Matthew 19:28. Remember, the disciples are always arguing who's going to be on Jesus' right hand when they're all sitting and ruling with him. You know, and in some of those passages. Well, Jesus actually says in Matthew 19:28 that you 12 guys will rule with me in Jerusalem.
There'll probably be like
three on each side. You know, they had to. That's why when Judas killed himself, the disciples that were so adamant, we've got to replace this guy, because they knew they needed guy number 12 in order for this to happen. And they were expecting this to happen during their lifetime.
Yeah.
And it could have if they would have accepted Christ, but they didn't. So, but anyways, that's why they wanted to replace Judas so bad, to get that 12th guy. So, Israel will become like the Garden of Eden. When Jesus comes back, Israel will become a paradise again. Vegetation, we'll get to creation in a second, but the whole creation is groaning, waiting on this time, because the earth is fixed as well. So, Israel is going to be a paradise. There will be a new millennial temple, and this is cool to read about. You know, we've talked about the temple in here quite a bit. I think I did the temple study, I don't know when that was. It was in last year. Anyway, Ezekiel is one of the better books. Ezekiel and Isaiah are some of the better books on the millennium. But when this temple comes in, when Jesus is here, they're going to build a new temple. It's going to be massive, huge. And it's missing that list of things here. There's no more outer wall. Remember how there was a curtain around the temple? There's no more labor. There's no more showbread. All the things that represented Christ in the temple are gone, because he's here. He doesn't need to be in the temple. We don't need a pointer or a symbol in the temple. The temple is for worship now. So that's kind of cool to think about. No more veil, no Ark of the Covenant. The law is here. We don't need the Ten Commandments on display. He's here. This is really cool to think about. This time period, I just want to talk about covenants. I don't know if I can. Let me skip that for now. That gets deep. All right, so the Jews that are living here during this time, the ones that make it in, they're having babies, they're living in a paradise, they go back to an Old Testament situation with sacrifices, but it's not to atone for their sin anymore. It's worship sacrifices, and that's described in detail in Ezekiel. God reestablishes the priesthood. Sacrifices start up again. We get into a covenant discussion, but I'm going to skip that for now. Israel's farming culture, very fertile. Curse is lifted from the lands. They have families. They build houses. Long life is restored. That's told us several times. No one has ever lived 1,000 years. Methuselah got close at 969. But long life will return during the millennium. You know, it says in Isaiah, if a guy dies from an accident at 100 years old, he's still considered like a baby because they live so long. A lot of verses about that. I put it in your handout. So that's Israel. That's what they'll be doing. They'll be kind of reigning this area here, 12 disciples on the throne, sacrifices and all that's back. The Mosaic law is back. In a nutshell.
Are they just staying like they're prime for a long time, or what?
Yeah, during the reign of David, Israel was hitting on all 8 cylinders. They were at the apex of what God wanted them to be. David and Solomon both, I guess. They will return to that. So, all right, so the next block on your handout. The Gentiles.
I got.
Yeah, definitely. I don't want to lose anyone.
He restores Israel, right? And this may be something. So they're restored. The law's on their heart. So they won't be sinning, is what you're saying? Or will they still? Because you said there's going to be sin.
No.
Will it come from Israel? Or?
It won't be coming from these guys.
Okay.
These guys are serving the Lord. These guys are obeying.
Okay.
They're doing good. I'm talking about more of the other guys that come in.
Okay.
Yeah. It gets in the covenant. That's a good question, though. I mean, all right. The next block, the Gentiles. So this would be the Canadians and the New Zealands and all the people that make it in that weren't part of the Battle of Armageddon. There'll be a lot of these people, probably. The Gentiles that survive the tribulation, they'll go into the millennium, and the first thing they'll face is the judgment of the sheep, goats, and the sheep and the goat judgment. Now, we don't have time to get into that, but if you take D2, there's 7 judgments in our Bible. One of them is the sheep and goat nations, where God will honor and allow into the millennium those people, those nations that were favorable to Israel. They gave him drink when he was thirsty. Those types of passages that talk about some of that. People that were favorable to the nation of Israel and helped supported them they'll get the free pass in the millennium. So that's the Gentiles that'll be in there. So if you're a guy in New Zealand, you're all for Israel, but you're still just stuck in New Zealand not doing anything, you're going in. But you're not saved necessarily. So you have to think about that. But you will be. You can be. Salvation for... That's the next point. Salvation for humans in the millennium is not by faith, but kind of by works, because they go back to the Mosaic law. This is the kingdom of heaven. If you're the guy from New Zealand that happened to make it in because you liked Israel and you sent them money or whatever, you're in the millennium now. You have got to be a proselyte. You've got to take up the Jews' religion and like...
That's your right.
Yes. You've got to do what they had to do in the Old Testament. You know, whenever they'd come up on like the Jebusites and the Hittites and all these Gentile nations, to have a relationship with God, those guys had to become a Jew and worship as a Jew, you know. And that's what will happen to Mr. New Zealand and these other guys that come in. That's how they get saved. So, the Gentiles, like the Jews, will procreate. They'll serve the Jews. They bring the Jews stuff. They help rebuild the temple. That's all described in those verses. Everybody makes the yearly trek to Jerusalem during the Feast of Tabernacles, the worship of Jesus. And if they don't, they don't get any rain. And Hebrew will become the language of the earth. It's kind of a neat thing to think about. It's kind of the reverse of the Tower of Babel. All of a sudden, Mr. New Zealand speaking Hebrew. I'm sure God will give him the ability. Yeah. All right, so the next blank, the next little section we're going to talk about, is where it starts hitting home. Christians, what happens to us? If you have trusted Christ as your Savior right now, in here in this room or online, this is what is going to happen. Like I said, we're all going out at the rapture. We're going to have our time with the Lord in heaven, and then we come back with Him after the tribulation's over. And that's where I put, we're going through the judgment seat of Christ, the marriage of the Lamb, we return with Jesus. There's three groups that reign with Christ. There's Christ at the top on the throne, there's those 12 disciples. The Bible is very clear that we are given cities and areas to reign. And the amount of cities and the amount of areas that you, Christian, me, Christian, get is based on what we're doing today and the inheritance we receive at the judgment seat of Christ. So if you're a super Christian, doing just all in for the Lord, doing everything you can, you might get New York. But if you're just a so-so guy, yeah, you got saved, but you're not taking it serious, you might get Archie. You know, that's kind of the way to look at it. So whenever, you know, like Brian and Steve and you know, they're talking about our inheritance, we do have a real inheritance that we stand to lose here. You know, that whole verse about we're saved by fire. Yeah, we made it into the millennium. We're saved. But we're walking around naked because we didn't get our clothing up here. We're walking around naked ruling Archie. You know, that's the way to think of it.
We're rolling from a baby carriage.
Yeah, but like I say, super Christian, you're going to have the gown, linens, the whole armor of God. You have all these crowns that were given to you that you throw back at his feet, and now you've got New York that you're presiding over. You know, so you got to think of it like that. So yeah, we're part of his government, and that's why I put how responsible we are now is determines our inheritance then. And that's Christian. That's what we're going to be doing if you're a believer now. All right, the next little blank, the next little box. The blank is creation. We're going to talk about what happens to the creation during this time. It's on page 4. It says creation. Just a big black line. The curse on the earth is lifted. When Jesus is back, the curse is lifted. This is what Romans 1 talks about. The whole creation is groaning, waiting on things to be made right.
Creation.
No more weeds and thorns. No more tilling of the land, sweating of the brow. It's just, yeah, thorns are gone. Our bodies are healed because of that river. The Gentiles are here, can drink of this. They can eat this fruit. They're healed. Their bodies are good to go. They live long life. That's why that's there. Nature comes to life, trees and rocks sing. Animals revert to being vegetarians like they were originally in the garden. There was no meat eaters when this thing started until sin came in. So that's where the whole lion laying with the lamb, kids playing with snakes, all that in Isaiah. They'll be vegetarians. We're all vegetarians. So just, if you don't like salad, you're going to... Well, we won't be eating it, but... Yeah.
I'm carnivore.
But yeah, animals go back to being vegetarians. Long life is restored, just like before the flood. That's what happens to creation. All right. That's kind of it. I didn't think I'd get through that. So how does all this info help me today? And so I wanted to kind of tie it up. Well, it's fun to think about first. So just think about all these promises that He has made in our Bibles that absolutely will come to pass. here, if not now. So that's one cool thing about how this helps. So whenever we read our Bible, actually, I think I've mentioned this before, there's around 300 verses in the Old Testament that prophesy Jesus' first birth, you know, coming as a baby. There's around 300, and those all happen. There's almost 2,000 direct prophecies of him coming back and setting this up. So there is, what is it, 6-1 or whatever, but this is going to happen. We can rest assured there. All right. The other thing I was going to point out is this kingdom that he wants all of us to be a part of, Jesus on the throne, can be ours now. You know, because he wants to be on the throne of all of our hearts. You know, all of the spiritual blessings that we will get at the millennium, you know, peace, love, joy, happiness, all that, we can have right now. I mean, your millennium can be now. Even in this sinful world we live in, by making him the king on the throne of your heart. Does that make sense? I mean, it's all the cool stuff that we're going to get is very cool, but we can also have cool stuff now by allowing him to throw our hearts.
Received it in two places.
Yes, two places. Yeah. That's the standing in state. So that's why I put it. Is he reigning in your heart now? Have you allowed him? If not, you know, why not? Because it is a joyous life we live as believers with Jesus on the throne of our heart. So there's that. That's any questions on any of that? I got 5 minutes. I'm going to dive into something. We're going to go a little deeper now. This handout is this is a key to understanding the millennium. Let me just say what this one is real quick. There's a lot of info on this. In the history of man, in our Bibles, there's about 7 or 8 times when God came down to man and entered into an agreement, a covenant is another word, to set up how God is going to deal with that person. You know, so God came down to Adam, that first column. These are covenants. These are the covenants that God has made with man. And the reason I put this in here today is because all of these covenants did not go away. This is the words of God that were spoken to these guys, and the things that he promised and said would happen are going to happen here. So that's why understanding these covenants is really makes it fun, because like when he came down to Adam at the creation, he says, Adam, I want you to multiply, keep the garden, don't eat that tree, and you shall be saved. Well, Dad, every one of these, man messed it up, and God had to come up with a slightly different one. And the symbol of that is the tree. Don't eat the tree at the bottom. So Adam messed that up, so now God had to have another covenant. But one of the things he told Adam after he fell is, you're going to have to work to eat. Your women are going to have pain in childbirth. Animals are going to be afraid of you. And all the things that he told Adam, that covenant, are still going on today. And just like the Noah, that was the next big one, when he came down and told Noah, you know, you need to multiply. Every one of these guys, their job was to multiply. Fill the earth. Do sacrifices. And he promised Noah, I'm not going to flood it anymore. And he didn't. You know, so that's still in effect. And the Abraham, all these covenants, you can go through them. And the things God promised are still in effect for these covenants. And they all come back in the millennium. That's why we say we're going back to the Mosaic rule here. Because that was never finished. The Davidic covenant, where he promised David, someone from your seed will sit on the throne forever. That's the infinity signal, the symbol there by David. We call it the sure mercies of David. Jesus was a descendant of David. He's going to sit on that throne forever. Now, we're in these are dispensations. You know, we often hear that word dispensation. Dispensation is not a time period. It's the way God dispenses grace and mercy to a people group. Adam was given grace by through faith, doing what God said by keeping that garden and not eating the tree. We are given grace and mercy by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're in a different dispensation. So our dispensation of grace we're in right now is very different than the ones that have existed before. That gets back to the kingdom of God. We're in the kingdom of God. And I'm going to end there. So then I got the millennium on the last part. So a lot of fun. It's a fun study, the millennium, because the millennium, like I said in the beginning, it puts a bow on everything in our Bible. Yes, it's a whole package now. All the stuff that we read about in the Old Testament saints, stuff that didn't really make sense, stuff, weird stuff we read in Psalms, Judges, and all those books, does make sense when you look at it from the lens of the millennium, when it all is made right. So, any other questions? Hopefully nobody...
about rest at the first. But then you're talking about ruling and reigning all these cities.
Oh yeah, we'll be reigning.
What happened to rest?
Well, we'll be... I didn't put it on the handout, I should have, but we'll be in spiritual bodies. I mean, we're not going to be in physical bodies. We don't need to drink the water and eat the fruit. We'll be in spiritual bodies because we come back, white horses... We're in spiritual bodies. We're all clean, linens, all that stuff. So, all right, let's get. We'll break. We'll get out of here. Lord, I do thank you again for the chance to meet in your house, and just thank you for your word, Lord. I just love your word. I love studying it. I just think it's so interesting how you've put all these things together for us, and just pray you'd help us remember these things as we read and study, and just thank you for all the grace and mercy that you do give us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, amen. All right, let's see.
Show you a little magic trick.
A who?
A little trick.
Magic trick?
Yeah.
Let me turn all this up. I got all the stuff shut down.